Blog Talk Radio.
Belong to only one, and that is the true and living Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, the Savior, and the Redeemer of the whole earth. Let everything that hath breath praise the true and living Elohim by saying, Hallelujah. My people, it is my pleasure today to be on the broadcast, The True Word. My name is Morey Elkanah ben Israel. I'm the spiritual leader and teacher of the House of Israel of Atlanta. Must I say, we welcome you to the disciples, or may I say the true word of the Most High. Because we're not talking about some words that came from my mouth, but I'm going to be speaking the words of the true and living Elohim. And today, my people, I'm going to be announcing some things that maybe many of you all have never heard. Things that are being revealed right now. Things that are unfolding as we speak. Lies and deceits that have been uncovered, have been covered for years. Now, a great light is shining on these lies, and we're going to talk about them today. But before we get into this power-packed broadcast, we're going to have to praise our rock by having a song with my queen, Yanith, entitled, Along with My Beloved Brother, Like a Son, Eliah Israel. They came together and collaborated and made a song called My Rock. I know you'll enjoy it.
We adore you, Yah. It's all about you, Yah. We thank you, Yah.
praise your name, cause you're merciful. I praise your name and boast in you, cause you're bountiful. You gave me love when I was in danger. You gave me a hand when I was foolish. You gave me multiple chances when I was choosing the evil. I apologize. Teach me your ways and I did and I recognize. The valley in me 23, living at my mom's crib. Feel like I'd be punished for all the dirt that I did. Can I live? Tell me to seek out of your book indeed. Made a vow if you would save me. I stopped smoking weed. It's been about 3 years ago. Now I'm living celibate. You gave me knowledge when I was in darkness. Hell for ignorance. Living in furious. You showed me your laws and your tests. You test the heart and try the rings. Every day I bless your holy name. Yahweh never give up on me. But instruct me and correct me. Continually on a daily.
We adore you.
My rock, my Yahweh. Who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Elohim of three black men who happens to be the forefathers of the so-called African Americans and all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of the earth. And their names were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These were our ancestors. They were all black with woolly hair. And must I say, my people, there are some things today that we're going to be discussing that is a public national announcement and an alarm to all people, not just my people, that have been blinded by one of the lyingest, greatest religions on earth. But all people must hear this because this religion has been a great influence amongst so many. Some people are basing their salvation on a religion of someone they've never heard of, someone they never seen, someone that ain't never spoke to them before, and we got it from the plantations of slavery. And we've brought it down from generation unto generation. And it seems like this lie has been going on for so long. Now, here comes the truth. And today, we're going to be speaking of the lies of the heathen. And these lies are now, and I'm going to read. Before I start my broadcast today, I've got to do what I did this past Sabbath. I've got to read this letter that came directly from the Vatican. I can't cover this letter up. I can't just read it once and let it go. I've got to reveal this letter to the world. I've got to speak this loud because it has been proven that it is factual by the cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church of the Vatican. And this is what it states. Matter of fact, the topics are Roman Catholic leaders say JESUS is not coming back as bishops in Ghana dismissed the claims. Now, the title that is given on this is Christ or JESUS, that's what it says, is not coming back by the looks of it, admits the Vatican. It says a spokesman for the Vatican has officially announced today that the second coming of JESUS, the only son of God, and I want to make note of that because that's one of the things that we have been taught is that he is the only begotten Son of the Creator himself. And we're going to go into this because it's so important. And it says further, may not happen, meaning a spokesman of the Vatican officially announced today that the second coming of Christ, the only Son of God, may not happen now after all, but urge followers to still continue with their faith, regardless of the news. Cardinal Giorgio Salvador, I know some of you all have heard of him. Cardinal Salvador told WWN that this year's 1,981st anniversary is to be the Vatican's last in regards to waiting for the LORD to return to the earth. We just feel JESUS is not coming back by the looks of it, he said. It's been ages. He's probably flat out doing other really good things for people somewhere else. You know, maybe he's in space. Maybe he's in the atmosphere. Maybe he's outside talking to the little funny-looking people that's on the so-called planet that the heathen made up called M-A-R-S. Maybe he's out there doing some things. Maybe. But we know one thing. Nobody ain't seen him on earth. Nobody ain't heard his voice. And right now, even the Roman Catholic Cardinals of the Vatican is admitting that he's not going to come back. And, of course, all of those that know Yahweh know he ain't coming back because he never came. Furthermore, in this letter, this is what it reveals. It says, nearly 2,000 years ago, JESUS promised his disciples that he would come again in chapter John, the 14th chapter, the first through the third verse of the Bible. There are many homes up where my Father lives, and I am going to prepare them for your coming. When everything is ready, then I will come and get you, so that you can always be with me where I am. If this was not so, I would tell you plainly. The Vatican defended JESUS' broken promise, claiming he was probably drinking wine at the time when he made these comments. Having the ability to turn water into wine had its ups and downs, added Cardinal Salvador. We all make promises we can't keep when we're drunk. JESUS was no different. Now, this comes from some of you all's leaders. Now, some of you all say, well, I'm not a Roman Catholic. I'm a Christian. Some of you all say you're not a Christian, especially my people. You say you are a Hebrew Israelite. But let me tell you something. These are one of your leaders because they are the ones, no matter what color you paint on the lie, you still go by the same doctrine that the Roman Catholic cardinals teach in the New Testament. So really, you're just a Christian in disguise. Furthermore, it says, the church said it will now focus attentions on rebuilding its reputation around the world, but will keep an optimistic mind for the Savior's second coming. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. I certainly hope that there's no one in my listening audience that's basing their salvation on this, that's basing their salvation on someone who told you after 2,000 years he was going to come back on earth. But my people, I'm going to explain some things today. I'm going to show you that everything that our enemies gave us from the plantations of slavery concerning a man-made religion and a made-up false god of Christianity itself, all they did was took the words of the Almighty, twisted it, and perverted it. So we're going to have to reveal some of the lies of the heathen. But first and foremost, let's read what thus said Yahweh concerning this matter, concerning these cardinals of the Vatican coming out and admitting that they don't believe he's coming. Because guess what? They've been preaching for years that he is coming back. In the New Testament, the Piso family and Marcion wrote and made sure you would believe and hang on to a lie. And now the words of the true and living Elohim is being fulfilled. For one thing, this is what Yahweh has revealed in his words in the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, concerning himself and lies. Because Yahweh don't associate himself with lies and deceit. No, ma'am, no, sir. The scriptures say in Numbers, the 23rd chapter, the 19th verse, it says, Elohim is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If Yahweh says something, he is going to make it good. For instance, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, and let's give glory to Yahweh and see what he said, what happened in the future. And it has. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, this is what it reads in the 26th verse. There is none like unto the Elohim of Yeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. And his excellency is on the sky. The eternal Elohim is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Yaakov, or Jacob, shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for opening our eyes to see that your word don't return void. It accomplishes that which it pleases, and it prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. So in other words, Yahweh is letting us know that our enemies would be found to be liars unto us. Now, the only way you're going to know if something is a lie is, first of all, you must know the truth. And let me establish something before we go into various contradictions and lies and deceits. Let's go to Psalms and let me show you, my people, the impact of this great statement of the Most High. And it's recorded in Psalms, the 119th chapter and the 142nd verse. This is what it reads. It says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Hallelujah. praise be Yahweh. It don't end right there. Go to the same chapter, Psalms 119, and let's go to the 150th and the 151st verse. This is what it reads. They draw near that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Yahweh, and all thy commandments are truth. Hallelujah. Praise Yah, that Yah's laws and his commandments and his statutes and his judgments and his precepts and his testimonies and his ordinances and his covenants and all the precious words that proceeded from the mouth of Yahweh, these words stand for what is defined as truth. That's the light in the darkness, is the law and the commandments of Yahweh. That's the light. Once you know the law, you know it's the truth, because Yahweh don't lie. Do that make sense to you? I hope it do. Because right now we're about to show you some lies and deceits. And I'm going to show you, because I'm exalting Yah's word. And I'm exalting his prophets that he gave his words to, such as Daniel. That's why I want you to go to Daniel. And I want you to go to Daniel, the 7th chapter. And then we're going to show you some things. Daniel chapter 7, we're going to start at the 23rd verse that gives you what Yahweh said would happen. He said in the 23rd verse, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall divide the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now check this out. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And it shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions. That means, my people, all the earthly governments of the earth, all of its domains that Yahweh gave it. As he said, when he separated the bounds of the people, he done it according to the number of the children of Israel. That means all boundaries of nations and people. Yahweh is letting you know they're going to serve and obey his saints. Hallelujah. You're never going to see where it says they're going to serve Jesus or Christ or Yahshua or Yahushua or Yahushua or whatever name you want to put on the lies that the cardinals themselves of the Vatican have told you that they can see now. And they already knew, because these are the people who helped to keep the lie going. And how vulnerable and how weak have we been as a nation of people who just let people just tell us anything and we pass it on to our generations. That's why I want, if you got a relative right now, you can call them on the phone, you know, hit flash, hit your button and put them and let them listen to this. If they won't listen to you, let them listen to this. Maybe that's a difference. Maybe they'll say, okay, I'll check and see what this man got to say. Because guess what? Lies are going to be desecrated today. For instance, Yahweh prophesied that this fourth kingdom, which translates into the Roman Empire, all Bibles just about that has translation information, it lets you know. It's talking about the Roman Empire. It ain't talking about the African Empire. It ain't talking about the Israelite Empire. It ain't talking about the Asian or the Arab Empire, but it's talking about the Roman, European, white, pale face empire. And it's amazing that our people for years have not even used common sense to look at a book of the New Testament, that all through the book it gives you reference to Jesus, the thing that they're saying ain't coming back. They base their whole their life and their salvation on trusting he's going to come back. And you mean to tell me that the leadership of this religion is saying that they believe he was drunk? Because the book even says he was a drunkard and a wine bibber. Because that's what he was. And we're going to have to see some attributes of this thing that many of our people have painted to be a black man. Yes, a lot of them painted to be a black man. But they don't realize this, the image that they gave you, it gave you a false image of a man that was the uncle of Michelangelo. And he was a drunkard, a red, blue-eyed, plus redy, bloody-eyed heathen that loved to drink wine. And that's why the cardinals themselves would insult their own God. And we have the nerve to take up for him and to let our children come and worship him. For instance, don't you know, my people, this lie has been going on for, as the article says, for almost 2,000 years. Because there's something I need to show you in the words of the true and living Elohim that lets you know that we have been hoodwinked. Let's go to Psalms chapter 90, and I want to show you something, my people. Let me give you some wisdom of the Most High, because I love you, and I don't want you to be lost. Psalms, the 90th chapter, the 4th verse. Let me show you some things. This is what it reads. For 1,000 years in the sight, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Let me read this again. This is the words of the true and living Elohim from his book. It says, for 1,000 years in thy sight, talking about the sight of the Almighty himself, are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So in other words, this is true. 1,000 years to the Almighty, it's like yesterday that's passed. It's like a day that passed. That's why Adam and Eve were instructed not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You noticed they didn't die right then. They didn't die on the spot. They lived for years after that, had children after that. And they live for over 900 years. But you notice they didn't quite reach 1,000. Why? Because Yahweh promised that in the day that they ate of the tree of the in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said they would surely die in that day. And that's why they didn't make it to 1,000 years. Because guess what? They made it a little over 900, but not quite a day in Yah's sight. Hallelujah. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand my words that I'm speaking to you, because they're the truth. Furthermore, look what the true and living Elohim is revealing to us. Let's understand. In the book of Hosea, the sixth chapter. Let's go to Hosea, the sixth chapter, because they lied to us, my people. These people told us that Christ, after 2,000 years, he was going to come back to the earth. That's what they told us. And many of our people have been basing their life and their children's salvation, their family, their wife, and thinking that this is the way that we need to go. We need to be patient and wait on this thing to come back. Because he told you that I'm preparing a place for you in heaven. I'm going to prepare a place. And I got to show you, my people, the word of the Almighty concerning the place that he said he prepared in the heavens for you. You understand? In Hosea, the sixth chapter, let's see what the scriptures say, starting at the first verse. It says, come and let us return unto Yahweh. Now, when it says, come and let us return, he's speaking to his people. He's speaking of Israel, the so-called African Americans, all black descendants of slaves that were scattered to the four corners of the earth. Those that are catching hell, those who were bought on slave ships, those that were sold on the auction block. This word is speaking of you. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Now, this is what the Almighty going to do. Because remember, they told you that Christ was in the grave, and then he rose on the third day. This is the lies and deceits that they taught us, that he rose on the third day. Now, I know some of y'all may not believe that. You know, I may have to show you, just to refresh your memory, that they told us that Christ was going to rise on the third day. You know, they said he died on the sixth day and that he rose on Sunday morning. And of course, let's understand something. That's why people go to church on Sunday rather than the seven-day Sabbath. They're basing their whole salvation every weekend going to church because they're worshiping the one that they were told that rose on the third day. And of course, where did this come from? It came from the mouth of Paul. Paul is the one who spread it that Christ was going to rise on the third day. How do I know this? Think about it. It's all in the book of the New Testament, where it lets us know that he would rise on the third day. For instance, look at 2 Colossians, the fifth chapter. 2 Colossians, the fifth chapter. Very important, my people. May I say 2 Corinthians, excuse me, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Let me show you where it says that he died and would rise again. This is what it says. And we're going to read verse 15. It says, and that he died for all. Okay, let me read that again. It says, and that he died for all. Now, you got some of my black Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters that teach that he just died for Israel, that he didn't die for the world. Right here, it's letting you know that the writers of the New Testament is letting you know that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, we got to define, when are they saying that he rose? Are they saying that he rose on the third day? This is what Paul is saying. And the reason why I'm specifically saying Paul is because, my people, when it comes to the words of Christ, you're going to find a great contradiction. Now, how do I know this? Well, I got to show you. Let's go to the book of Mark. That's right. Let's go to Mark, the 9th chapter, and we're going to read. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Verse 31. Mark, the 9th chapter. Let's get there. Mark 9. This is what it says. Let's read it. And starting in Mark, the 9th chapter, and I want to make sure I give you the right verse. Verse 31. I'm going to read verse 31. This is what it says. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Isn't that something? Now I'm going to show you how this book contradicts not only the words of Yahweh, but this book contradicts itself. It says that he was going to rise on the third day. And we're going to go back to Hosea, the 6th chapter. But I want you to see something very peculiar in the book of Matthew's. And let me show you in Matthew's, the 12th chapter, what Christ said or supposedly said in the 12th chapter of Matthew's concerning his return. And it's going to start at verse 40. It says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So who's telling the truth and who's lying? Well, first of all, let's count this. He said, and this is the words of Christ. It's in red in my book. It says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Isn't that something? Now, let's calculate this. It says that he died on the 6th day, the FRI day, as people call it. If he died on the 6th day, let's count. FRI day, that night. The Sabbath day, that night. That's 2 days. That's 2 nights. Sunday, which most people go to church, that's 3 days and 2 nights. Now, you got to go through Sunday night to complete 3 days and 3 nights. You're going to have to go through Sunday night because the book says he died on the 6th day. Wow. You mean to tell me y'all missed this? You mean to tell me y'all been going to church on Sunday morning to represent his rising, But you should have been probably going to church on if you're going to do it. If you're going to be an idolater, at least be a correct idolater. At least follow the instructions of Christ if you're going to do it, which you ain't got no business doing. But you mean to tell me that you would go to church after the third day, and these are the words of Christ. He said he was going to be like Jonah in the belly of the whale, the fish, for 3 days and three nights, because he was. And he got out on the fourth day. That's what it says. He got out on the fourth day because it's impossible for him to rise if he's going to be in a belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. It would have been impossible for him to be out on the third day. This is how contradictory this book is. You got one portion all through the book that's saying he's going to rise on the third day. Then you come to this in red. Christ is telling you he's going to rise after the third night. Now, I know I can count. I'm gonna, one more time. F-R-I day. The book said he died. F-R-I night. One day, one night. Sabbath day and the Sabbath night, 2 days, two nights. Sunday, 3 days and two nights until I go through Sunday night. And our people are going to church based on that he rose on the third day. When this book says he will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Well, my people, I want you to go back to Hosea, the sixth chapter, for a reason. The reason why I had you to go to Hosea, the sixth chapter, and I didn't finish the verses, is because I had to quickly show you where they got this from. We're dealing with plagiarism here. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with someone who would pervert the words of the true and living Elohim. And twist these words and make you think that this is their true doctrine. Again, Hosea, the sixth chapter, the first verse. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. My goodness. Yahweh is talking about that he's going to raise up a nation after 2 days, which means they're going to be rose on the third day. This is where they got this from. This is how they hookwinked us. They took the words of Yahweh as he said they would and spoke great words against his words just to justify theirs. And you know how people are. They do it all the time to us. They lie on you. These are the same people who, after a black man and a black woman made certain inventions that people utilize to this day, they would put their names on it. This is a man who could make up characters that is not even their true name. You know, it's called a soap opera. And have you, because you're so deep in watching the soap opera, have you so deep that if you saw one of those people on the street, and their name was Bill on the show, you would say, "Hey, Bill, how you doing? You think you're going to murder that man's wife as you was on the last show?" And of course, that man is going to laugh because he know you are into his character and not his person, who he really is. Because who he really is a different name. And he's just acting. My people, don't you know when these white folks lie to us that these people are the greatest orchestrators of acting, the greatest orchestrators of liars? Even the book tells you in the New Testament that the Cretans are nothing but liars. You have to understand. And when you define the word Cretan, oh my goodness, I want you to look in a dictionary when you get a chance. You can do it now. Go online. Look up the word C-R-E-T-I-N. Do that for me. Please do that for me. C-R-E-T-I-N. See what definition you get. You know what's going to fall in the definition of Cretan? It's going to say someone who's an idiot. It's going to say an idiot. And guess what? You know what word and term that many of you all call yourselves, and some of you all don't call yourselves. Some of you all are Christians in disguise. But a word that's going to describe the word C-R-E-T-I-N is going to be the word Christian. It's going to be right up in the book. The word Christian is going to be one of the definitions that define the word Cretan, an idiot. I'm not insulting you. I don't mean to insult you. But what I must do is tell you the truth, even if it's insulting. That's the only way you're going to open your eyes. That's the only way you're going to go behind the lies. That's the only way you're going to put off the blindfolds and start realizing that we have been lied to. Now, you're dealing with a book that told us he would rise on the third day. Had you ever seen where Yahweh told us that his people was going to really truly rise on the third day? His people were going to rise on the third day. What does that mean? Don't you know, my people, just as the Roman cardinals have revealed, don't you know the earth has been endowed under the Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church, of the influence of this fourth beast, which is translated in the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter, as the goat of Grisha, the goat with stringy hair of Grisha. That's the goat he's talking about, the goat from the west. We have been influenced over lie of called Christianity for almost 2,000 years. 2,000 years has this religion been on the earth. Don't you know they got this from us and our way of life? That's why if Yahweh tell you that there's 12 tribes of the children of Israel, how many disciples would you be surprised that Christ would have? He happened to have 12, don't he? Don't you know? They just twisted the words of the true and living Elohim. Because if Yahweh tell you that the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, what day do you think Satan going to have you worshiping? He going to have you worshiping the first day. The very opposite. The very opposite, my people. Furthermore, let me show you a commandment that Yahweh gave his people. And it's in a book, Exodus, the 20th chapter, that we read every Sabbath day. This is what we read. It says in Exodus, the 20th chapter, in verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. So in other words, we were to love and honor our parents. And matter of fact, it would cause us to have our days increase when we did. But my people, did you know that this book encourages you not to love and honor and obey your mother and father. Do you know that this New Testament actually encourages you to hate your own mama and your own father? I know you don't believe that. I know, yes, I said it. I'm the one who said that this book encourages for us to hate our own parents. Yes, I'm the one who said this. Now, first of all, I'm going to show you something to let you know that the true and living creator already let us know who was going to be the Prince of Peace. And I've got to show you this in the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah and show you the Prince of Peace, who Yahweh said would be the Prince of Peace. And it's recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. And this is what it reads in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. It reads in the 6th verse, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of course, in the proper Hebrew, it would never read as I just read. Because in the proper Hebrew, if you get you a Holy Name Bible, you could see what I'm saying right now. And I'm about to read it the way the Holy Name Bible spells it out. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Elohim, of the Eternal Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this." So in other words, this is David's throne. You notice it didn't say Christ's throne. You notice it didn't say the son of David's throne, but it says the throne of David. And he was called the Prince of Peace. And they try to relate this verse and chapter to Christ. That's what they have told us, that this is talking about Christ right here. Well, let's see. Let's go to the New Testament and let's go to the book of Luke and see, was Christ the true Prince of Peace? Now, peace means peace and harmony. And of course, we're going to open the phone lines up for anyone that has comments or questions in a few minutes at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. We want to hear from you. If there are some brothers and sisters that would like to defend the Vatican in their comments concerning the announcement that Christ ain't coming back, you can call 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1 and set me straight. Call up here and set me straight. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Luke, the 12th chapter, these words are read in verse 51. This is what it says. It says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth." Now, you look up the word suppose and see what you get. It says, "I tell you nay, but rather division." Now, division means separation. Division means separation and dividing. "For from henceforth there shall be 5 in one house divided." He breaks it down. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. The father, isn't that something, shall be divided against the son. Now, oh my goodness. The son against the father, the mother against her daughter, and the daughter against her mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, darn, I can see why now. What's going on in the black communities? I can see why our children don't respect us no more. I can see why mothers and fathers don't even get along themselves, let alone their sons and daughters. I'd be darned if the spirit of Christ is truly in the black communities. And you can't even get families. It's rare to see a mother and a father and a son and a daughter walking together. Most of us, a lot of our sisters, a lot of them, have had wonderful children that they loved when they were born. But when they rose up, they rebelled against them. And let me tell you something, a contributing factor to that is when a child does not have a father in the house, which is a normal, natural way, or some other male figure like an uncle or someone else that can stand in and help if the father is deceased, it's going to be some troubles. Well, Christ is letting you know, and we already have enough trouble. Christ said, you think I came for peace. Christ letting you know I'm going to be the biggest contributing factor, even if you were trying to do the right thing by having a father in the house, because I'm going to set this father against his own son. You mean to tell me this is the person that you would say that is the king of your salvation, the person that the Roman Catholic Church right now are saying that he ain't going to come back? The person you've been basing your whole life on, and you telling me that the man is telling you in the book that his purpose was to divide us and separate people, even mothers and daughters. Yes, you're reading it. This ain't my book. I don't want nobody to be upset with me, because I'm showing you this. I would encourage anyone that is a Christian or that is someone that goes by the New Testament, you don't call yourself a Christian, I would advise you to call your minister. And you can have your minister to call me. But before he called me, you ought to have a conversation with him yourself. Do you understand what you're reading, my people? This is heavy. And we believe it or not, it don't end here. It don't end here. I want you to go to Luke, the 14th chapter, and it get worse. Yes, I repeat, it gets worse. Luke, the 14th chapter, the 26th verse. I'll start at the 25th verse. This is Christ talking now. This is the one that you all try to relate to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, as the Prince of Peace. The one that the Creator sent to show us as an example on how to live right. And you mean to tell me this little fella is advocating division, as much division as we got in our black community? I wonder why the preachers don't preach this. Luke, the 14th chapter, and by the way, neither do my Hebrew Israelite brothers teach about this. They don't go here. I know why. Because it'll make you look like a fool. Luke, the 14th chapter, the 25th verse, it says, and there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, this is Christ, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I hope y'all heard that. Those of you all who say you don't listen to me, you don't want to listen to me. Some of you all don't want to listen to me. Some of y'all be cringing and upset with me and any other teacher like myself that teach about nothing but serving and worshiping Yahweh himself, and that Yahweh told us don't have no other gods before me. And Yahweh told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Yahweh told us and commanded us to honor our mother and father, that our days would be increased. And you mean to tell me that we would trade in days of increase for a man of no peace, a man who advocates hatred, a man who's telling you if anybody come to me and don't hate, that's the word, don't try to dress it up, don't try to change it. This is the word used, hate. Hate not. And when you look it up in the Greek concordance, it's going to describe hatred, the word hatred. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, guess what? Without Christ telling his disciples, Christ let you know right here. He said this not to his just disciples. Christ said this to the great multitudes. That means many people. This man, according to Marcion and Piso, who made him up, they had great multitudes. Do you know what a multitude means? That means a big conglomeration of many people that followed him. And he told them, not just his 12 disciples, he told them, look, unless you hate your mother, father, sister, brother, your own self too, because that's what most of our people don't realize. You show you hate yourself. You're showing you hate yourself by even believing this. Now, I'm going to show my people, you need to know that it's consistent with this man to divide. It was consistent with this man to divide families. Yes. Now, I know you. Some of y'all don't believe me. Some of y'all saying to yourself, no, Brother Elkanah, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'd have you go to Matthew's, the 19th chapter. And I got to show you something. I've got to show you what Christ said out of his mouth according to the New Testament. And of course, as I said, it's about that time for the lines to open. If you'd like to make a comment or a question, all you got to do is hit area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. In Matthew, I just don't want to stop reading this because now it's getting deep. Matthew, the 19th chapter, look what Christ said unto the people. It says in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that means truly, that you which have followed me in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So in other words, this man is letting you know part of his teaching were for people to separate and divide themselves from their fathers and their mothers. Everyone that has forsaken, look that word up, forsaken now. Because that's what the 12 disciples called themselves doing. They forsook and left their wife and children. Now you think about that, and we're going to get to the callers. You think about that for a minute. Sisters, if your husband came home one day and said, look here, baby, I got to go. And you say, well, baby, where you got to go? I want to go with you. Oh, where you got to go? When you going to be back? I never. I ain't never coming back, baby. I got to go with a man. I got to go with him. And because I've got to go with him, I got to follow him and do what he tell me. I'm sorry, I got to go. Bye-bye. And, of course, I'm going to be going with 11 other people, 11 other men. She said, what? A strong black daughter of Zion sister would look at her husband and say, look, what? Is something wrong with you? You're going to leave me and my children to go with a man? The first thing that would probably come to her mind is, oh, no. You must then turn into a punk. A fag, a sissy. Don't tell me you're homo. Did you know when this man came and claimed that he was going to ascend to his father, when women wanted to touch him, he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my father. But when the men came around, he said, feel me. So in other words, feel on me. Touch me. I don't know about y'all. I smell a punk. But right now, I'm going right now to area code 513. Shalom, shalom. And we're trying to get you on. Hold on just a second. We're going to. And we got you. You're on the air. 513.
Shalom, shalom, Oriel Kana.
Shalom, shalom, my beloved brother. How you doing?
That's great. That's great. You had a great show going on.
Praise the mighty Yahweh, brother.
Yeah, man, I want to ask you to read Matthew 10 and 34 and take it down to 36.
Oh, my goodness. That's one of my favorites. I love to teach and show the people concerning this man. And this is what it says. I'm going to start reading, brother. You write Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Look what it says, everybody. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And we ain't never, ever, ever been given a commandment to put a creature and love a creature more than the Creator himself. And brother, I appreciate you showing this complimentary scriptures and showing the people and enlightening them just how consistent this hatred and deceit is in the New Testament. Would you like to say anything?
That's a good job, Shalom. I just want to let the people know the truth.
Praise the mighty Yahweh, brother. Love you. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah, y'all. Praise the mighty Yahweh. All you can say is hallelujah, because it truly is consistent what you just heard. This is not the words of Yahweh in the New Testament. Did you know that the true and living Elohim does not speak in the New Testament of the Bible? And of course, I've made many challenges, as well as other teachers and leaders that know the New Testament and scholars that know the New Testament, that if you could show anywhere where Yahweh is speaking in the New Testament to anyone, where it says, thus said Yahweh, or the word of the L-O-R-D came unto me, or G-O-D spoke unto me, or the Most High said unto me, to Paul, Peter, John, Luke, Timothy, even Christ. And some of y'all like to use the verse, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Some of y'all like to use that. Furthermore, let me show you what the Almighty told us and instructed us in the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. And of course, I'm going to be reading these scriptures, and you can continue to call, give your comments, your questions. All you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. You can rest assured. Understand, my people, this is heavy. And all we had to do was wait on Yahweh. That's all we had to do. Just wait on him. And he would have showed us the way. He would have let us know exactly his words. Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, look what Yahweh commanded us in the second verse and the third verse. It says, for thou art an holy people unto Yahweh thy Elohim, and Yahweh has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations upon the face of the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. And then he goes down to let us know what's abominable. He talks about the swine, the lobster, the shrimp, the crabs, the oysters, the scallops, the crab legs. The Most High said these things are an abomination. And not only did he say that, Yahweh let you know the fate of individuals that would eat anything that he has considered an abomination. And, of course, that's recorded in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. But I can't wait to show you what the New Testament says. But first, I got to show you what thus said Yahweh concerning any one of our people or the world that love pork and lobster and things that Yahweh says is an abomination to eat. Yahweh told us in the 15th verse of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and we're going to get to the callers in just a minute. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, said Yahweh. So it looks like our appetite better be right. Hallelujah. Yahweh ain't playing with us, y'all, and we're going to area code 919 right now. Shalom, shalom, you on the air.
Hey, praise the mighty Yah, glory to Yah, how you doing?
Hey, praise the mighty Yah, brother Elijah, how you doing, my man?
Man, you know what I'm doing real good, man. I just wanted to make a comment. It was crazy. What you said, the Roman Catholic Church has been confessed and said Christ ain't coming back. He must have been drunk. That was today.
Beloved brother, that was just recently, and I would encourage everybody. They could go on. They got various websites that reveals it all. You can go on a website called standingwatch.com and go on various things, matter of fact. But you can go on the standingwatch.com and you can see that the Cardinals, him and another Cardinal, they admitted that, yes, Christ ain't coming back. It looks like they thought he was, but they said he must have been drunk when he made the statements. That's true.
Wow, that's crazy, man. But all praises to God. That remind me of the scripture, and I don't have my scriptures in front of me, but I know it's in Jeremiah 16. I would like you to read it if you
sure,
can find
I
it.
Sure, I already know
say,
where you're going because I was going to read it before I ended this program.
Okay.
But why not
okay.
read it now? It's appropriate.
Praise y'all. You already know. So, praise y'all, man. I just wanted to give Yahweh the glory. I thank Yahweh for his mercy, for it endure forever. And
hallelujah.
Like I say, man, the New Testament is full of lies and deceit from the circumcision. They tell you don't get circumcised. If you circumcise, Christ profits you nothing. And get to, when you're reading about the Deuteronomy 14 dietary law and Corinthians, they teach you, look, don't even question what you eat. To eat it without conscience sake. So,
that's
man,
it,
praise y'all, man. I appreciate y'all for this right here, but I'm listening in to that Jeremiah 16, though.
Hallelujah, brother. Love you, brother. May y'all bless you, keep you to live forever. Shalom.
Hallelujah. All praise to y'all. One.
Praise the true and living Elohim. And I'm going to go back to my phone lines in just a minute. I'm just going to read a verse that my beloved brother wanted me to read that I was going to read today. And it's in Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. Look what Yahweh prophesied furthermore, that the people, white folks, they're Gentiles, according to Genesis 10, was going to say to us in the future, in Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, wait till you hear this in the 19th verse. O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, in my refuge in the day of affliction, because that's what we're in. He said this was going to happen in the days of our affliction. He said the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Isn't that something? Yahweh is letting us know his word prophesies that the Gentiles would, that's right, the Gentiles, the white man, the man who gave us Christianity, the man who's now telling us that JC ain't coming back. Call him what you want. You can put a Hebrew name on him if you want to, but I don't care what you call him. Even they themselves who made him up ain't said that he ain't coming back. He must have been drunk. They insulted their own God. It says, shall a man make gods of him to himself, and there are no Elohims? There are no Elohims. There are no gods. The only Elohim there is Yahweh, and beside him there is none else. Hallelujah. And we're going right straight to our phone lines again to area code 678. Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Shalom, shalom, Maury. How you doing?
Shalom, shalom, brother. You Kesquel. How you doing?
I'm all right. I see you got another dynamic show that you're talking about. I was, matter of fact, I was on Netflix this morning. And they got a documentary on there called Constantine Sword. They talk about when, you know, Christianity came about and how Constantine conquered all everybody with that sword, you know, Christ
yes.
and stuff and all that Christianity, how it came about. you know, Netflix has a lot of documentaries, a lot of hidden secrets, you know, that's on there that's telling. And then what you read yesterday on the Sabbath day about the Vatican.
Isn't that something, brother?
That's devastating. I mean, the people, you know, like when we read yesterday, Ezekiel 20, verse 24 and 25, and the Most High say he gave you false doctrine, statute to go by. And our people don't understand. They need to hear that more. The people don't understand that Yahweh gave us those false statutes to go by because we didn't hearken to him. He said, I'm going to give you some false statutes to go by that you may not live by.
Absolutely right. And we're going to read that. Like, we can go there right now, Ezekiel the 20th chapter, to enlighten our people further so they won't think that this is just a coincidence, that they're just coming into this, that this was prophesied by Yahweh, that he himself was going to allow us by himself to receive bad teachings, wrong teachings that he said we won't be able to live by. And I asked most of my people, Brother Yekesquel, most of my people to, do you go by loving and praying for your enemy? If your enemy hits you on the right cheek, would you turn and let him hit the left also? And in my experience, every time I asked them this, every one of them said, H-E-L-L, no. Now, some of them would just say, no, man. And they look at me like, you know, I can't believe you would ask me that. Well, this is the words of Christ. And in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, it says in the 24th verse, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they shall not live. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise, all glory to the Most High, Yah. You know, our people, they on that real drug, the real crack. Christianity is the real crack, you know. That's a real drug, the false gods of Islam and Christianity. So, you know, you got to give Most High his glory because he got in the heathen, I mean the Gentiles, admitting themselves that Christ ain't coming back and telling people to keep their faith. They're going to have to come a whole nother way, but the Most High ain't going to let you come a whole nother way because he's about to destroy you.
That's right. That's right. You're right, brother.
So I just give praise, honor, and glory to the, you know, Most High, the Holy One of Israel, by saying hallelujah, bro. You tell your queen, we love you all. We love you all too, brother.
May Yahweh bless and keep you. Great comment. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Praise the mighty Yahweh, y'all. Now, remember, and I appreciate my brother just calling. In the few minutes that we have left, if you would like to call, make a comment, whatever the case may be, or a question, call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number 1. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air right now because we're going to another area, the same area code, 678. In the few minutes we have left, shalom, shalom, you on the air.
Shalom, shalom, Moray. How are you?
Hey, shalom, shalom, my sister. How you doing?
I'm doing good, enjoying the program. And I enjoyed listening yesterday, but I know this news with a letter from the Vatican is greatly needed to help wake our people up. And I'll be so glad, Moray, when you can have a program to deal with our people who are stuck in Islam. They are confusing Musa, as they say, with being their leader as well, but he was a Muslim, and, you know, so much confusion is going on. And I know in Jeremiah,
I am going to do a program on Islam or Muslims and the religion itself. I am going to do a program, yes, sister, in the near future.
I'll be so happy. But this program, Moray, is so much information, and I can't get enough because it's getting me grounded. I just want to commend you. The way you handled the sister yesterday was, I mean, the skilled surgeon was out again. And
well,
it was,
yeah.
I know she was hurt, but she was handled. You handled her very, very gently. But you let her know, and not only her, but anybody else that was listening. I just want to say praise Yah for you doing your work.
Praise Yah
for you,
love and appreciate you, and give that back as an offering to the mighty Yahweh. I show praise, as you just said. I've been praying for that sister and her daughter, and I pray that Yahweh will open her eyes and that she'll call and ask, because I gave her my card with my number on it. And we're praying for her and her daughter and all of our brothers and sisters like this, that right now they, you know, she got an eye opener yesterday. And so praise Yahweh for what you said.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I praise Yah. And like I said, I hope to join you to be the type of surgeon you are.
Well, praise the mighty Yah. And may the Holy One of Israel bless and keep you, Queen. May you live forever.
Yes, sir. Likewise. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the mighty Yah. We do have one more caller that we can get to within the time period. Area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You are on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom. Elder Hadia, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. It's a blessing to hear Shalom Yael, and my sister actually calling. That's such a blessing. It's a dynamite show, and I was sitting here real quickly just praising Yah, and because it's not a shock to us, but it's so good to hear those confirmations where Yah said we would hear these things, and I'm just sitting here breathing and thanking Yah for breath and actually hearing these heathens come out saying what they have, the lies and stuff, and those lies being, you know, uncovered. And I praise Yah for the strength and being a lion such as yourself, and how Yah raised us, that you have, you know, that strength to put this out on the air more and more. And praise mighty Yah for all, for just being, knowing who I am as a Hebrew Israelite woman, and the brothers and sisters. Yeah. And I pray that Yah bring us all back together so we can stand as that one stick.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love you and take care.
Love you too. May Yahweh bless and keep you. May you and your family live forever. Praise Yah for what you say.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I guess we have dry-rotted, run straight out of time. But in the meantime, my people, we want you to know that Yahweh loves you, and so do we. And we want you to stay tuned for our next broadcast next week. On behalf of the entire house of Israel,